Morning. Great Lord's Day. Amen. It's interesting. Usually the Lord's Day, the clock in my mind usually is ticking, and I know when the Lord's Day is. At these rallies a little bit, sometimes it's like all the preaching, all the teaching, it's like, okay, where are we at in this thing? So I'm glad we're having the Lord's Supper here today to remind me of that. You guys go to Proverbs chapter 4. I really have enjoyed this camp. And one of the challenges of a great camp, sometimes I wonder, what have I liked best about this? Is it the messages or the fellowship? I come back to, yeah, all of it, right? And isn't that, guys, our Christian life? Like the Word of God, His Spirit, but also working in His church, like just the fellowship of the saints, the way that God has us designed for us to stimulate one another, to love and good deeds. You know, the old song on the Jericho Road, there's room for just two, just Jesus and you. And that's true. There are times in our life, man, it is going to be just you and the Lord. But I also know God didn't design this for us to do this by ourselves. He designed the body of Christ for us to be able to do this together, to be His body, His family, His team, if you will. And so I'm really thankful for the fellowship as well. You know, it's interesting to me when Marshall picked these message topics, the one last night, something I'm super passionate about, in case you guys didn't figure that out, something I really care about and think about and have poured a lot of my life into. And the one today, even though Marshall's substantially younger than me, doesn't bother Marshall to push me a little bit in times, which is a good thing. That's part of the body of Christ, right? Iron sharpens iron. And this one, I think he gave me this topic because he knows it's something I need to work on. And this one is to stay strong enough to stay intensely focused. And so it's an opportunity for me to work on some of this in my life. Proverbs chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse 25. Proverbs 4:25. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right, nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise your glorious name. Lord, what a blessing it is to be gathered together with the saints and faithful brethren, about your table. The first day of the week, Lord, that in your wisdom, you've designed for us to partake of the loaf and the cup, to remember you, to do this in remembrance of Jesus Christ, to proclaim his death until he comes again. And we're thankful for the remembrance and for the forward focus and just the wisdom that you have, Lord, in doing that weekly, knowing the way that you made us and that the cycle of our memory, and just for that reminder, renewal, refreshing. I just ask, Lord, a blessing, not only on this message, but on the full assembly today, Lord, that we would have you proper place in our mind, and that we would encourage and stimulate one another as long as it's still called today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, you know, I love those kids. Amen. Yeah. I think Satan's got a few tools that are really some of his favorites. And discouragement. I think discouragement is one of Satan's greatest tools. He can get you discouraged and take you out, and you know, you just wonder, is what I do, does it count for anything? You can get bogged down, and you know, you can get distressed and downcast and depressed. And I see Satan use that and discourage people and beat them up and hold you back from past mistakes, past failures, etc. But another one of Satan's favorite tools is distractions. And what Marshall gave me to talk about today is staying intensely focused. And, you know, I get a kick out of little boys. And little boys are, I'll just say, they're so easily distracted. I mean, you know, you put a kid out there, the outfield and T-ball. And there's butterflies, and there's, it's on. Let's be honest, it's not super exciting out there in the outfield in T-ball. But what, we're going to find something to chase, right? And actually, I think about little boys, they're not just easily distracted. They usually have no focus at all. Their life is distraction. It is all over the place. Like, you can't chart a path of where they're going. Whatever comes along, they follow it. And, you know, the scripture tells us, you know, this theme to be strong and to act like men. We got to grow up past that. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4 really quickly. It's possible. Matter of fact, I would venture that most of the world, sometimes the term that I put on it is people are spiritually stoned. Like, they're just no conception of spiritual reality. And so for most people in the world, that's where they're at, is Satan, whatever he wants to do, wherever he wants to lead them, is all over the place, and they never get anywhere. And hopefully, us in Christ, like, we've moved past that point, because it's a dangerous place to be. Ephesians chapter 4, I just want to read verses 14 and 15, picking it up here. As a result, he says, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into him who's the head, even Christ. Part of growing up is not being tossed by the waves. Part of growing up is being able to actually fix a course and stay on it. To have a destination in mind and to be able to follow through and stay committed to that. And not be carried away by all the distractions. You know, I think we all know people like that. I know people like this. There's never any momentum at all in their lives. Stop, start, move left, move right, go backwards, go all over the place. Because we can't be useful. I forgot who had the useful and fruitful. It wasn't just funny. It was pretty good, Chad. We want to be useful and fruitful to the Lord, don't we? And we can't do that if we can't stay on our course. If we can't keep that momentum. It's important we grow up. You know, maybe we're further along than that. Maybe we have some focus. Like we got an idea in mind of where we're going. I remember as an 8-year-old boy in school. You know, I went to an ACE school. My dad started it. Actually, my sister Lori went to public school for 1 year. My dad realized that wasn't a good thing, and so he sent her to a Christian school, Christian Center, I think, a Pentecostal school. And one night we're at dinner table praying, and she's, my dad's like, they taught us how to do this in school. You know, the speaking in tongues thing. I think my dad's, okay, that's it. Okay. And so he started the Christian school. And so I started in ACE, but somewhere I remember around 8 years old, I'm sitting in my office at school, not getting a lot done. And I'm listening to all the kids that are done outside playing. Because there's one thing I do like about AC school, you get done early, you can go, you know, get in, get done, get out, have fun. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, I wish I could be out there with those guys playing. But the next thing you know, I'm going to get to work here. And I'm writing out my answer. And then I start counting how many letters are in this answer. You know, count. Okay, my next answer. What's this? How many letters? Oh, this one's longer. I'm going to see if I can squish this down and make it shorter than the answer that I put down before. I wanted to be outside playing. I wanted to get done, but I'm a little distracted. Found a way to have fun during schoolwork, I guess. But, you know, hey, there's a big difference, guys, between activity and productivity, isn't there? I think, you know, we get into the body of Christ and we know we want to be active. We want to be doing something. We want to make our lives count for the Lord, and we want to get something. And so we get active, but sometimes if there's no focus, that activity doesn't necessarily translate to productivity. We can be writing stuff and squishing it down and, you know, having some fun measuring with our pencil, you know, how long that is, and did I beat this one up here? Doing something. But how productive is that? Proverbs chapter 1. Have I said some good things about my brother Matt this weekend? Anybody? Matt said no. I have to admit, I usually tell stories on Matt that I got one more today. I feel like I've said some good things about him. So, got a little story about him here in a second. Proverbs 1, verse 32. This verse, the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. Because waywardness, complacency, those things lead to death and destruction. What is that? Wayward to me just means like, okay, here's the straight and narrow. If I'm wayward, I'm veering off. I'm getting distracted, right? Complacency is, I'm just along for the ride. Don't really care. My dad has a little phrase that I think we'd all do well to listen to. He said, casual leads to casualties. And sometimes we can get a little bit into the float mode. This casual Christianity, just kind of, and then you're pretty soon, you're being tossed by the waves. Waywardness of the naive shall kill them. Complacency of fools shall destroy them. What does this have to do with my brother Matt? Hey, he's not a wayward man. But he was a young boy one day. Some of you have heard this before, but I'm going to tell it again because one of my favorite Matt stories. My brother Matt and my cousin Jeremy. Well, my dad took me off to do a job for a couple in the church that I'll throw me under the bus here in a second on that. But he took me off to do a job for some people in the church, and my brother Matt and my cousin Jeremy were supposed to mow the lawn at the house while we were gone. And so my dad had some work to do, some errands, stuff to run. While I'm at work, I don't know, it's probably an hour and a half or so by the time my dad dropped me off. I got my job done. And picked me up, got back home an hour and a half, 2 hours. And my brother Matt and Jeremy are having the time of their life, man. They got the lawnmower out. They are running around like crazy with that thing. There are figure eights mowed all over in that lawn. And they are just having a good old time. My dad wasn't particularly pleased, though. Hey, there was some productivity. There was some lawn. Some grass. Did you guys say lawn, mow the lawn or cut the grass? Yes. Okay. So anyways, there was some grass that had been cut, but honestly, to mow the lawn, you're gonna have to go back and start from square one because you can't follow those figure eights and accomplish it. You're gonna have to start at a corner somewhere and go. So all the activity they had done led to zero productivity. And sometimes our spiritual life is possible for us to be. We're active, we're running around, but it's not directed, it's not focused. And so there's nothing really getting done. And so, you know, I just want you to ask, in your life, you come back and you're being, you know, searching the scriptures and letting the Lord direct you here, and you're talking to him. You know, does the Lord ever come over and look over the lawn mowing job you've been doing? Say, hey boys, I need to talk. Yeah, that job that I had at the time is for Mel and Judy Hirsch at the Paint Pot. A few of you know Mel and Judy. My job was to sweep the parking lot of the Paint Pot. And it was a little bit of a mindless job. Once you get it, you know, you got the old push broom out there and you're going across and you're making a little line. You're coming back, doing it again until you get to the end. Well, somewhere in there, in my first job experience, you know, I started and I did fairly pretty good job. But as time went on, in a mindless job, I just remember Mel one time saying, he paid me. He said, come here. took me over the window. He's like, look out there with me. Like, what do you see? There's still some rocks. There's still some glass. There's still some... I'd swept the whole parking lot. But I wasn't paying attention. Didn't stay focused. Didn't keep it all together the way I was supposed to. And I'm a pretty sensitive guy. I don't like to not do my job well and be called out on it. It's really good for me, though, to do that. I lost some focus in that. I'm appreciative of Mel saying, does that look good to you? I'm surprised. I offered to sweep it again. Mel didn't make it. I'm surprised, actually. But he said next week, you know, do it right. I think with spiritual life, sometimes the Lord, you know, call you over. Look out the window here and how's it look? You staying focused? You getting work done for me? Or are you losing some of that focus and some things sliding by? Let's grow up. Grow up and do it right. You know, I think spiritual maturity, guys, does show up in our consistent, intense focus over time. And I was thinking about this. You know, where do the distractions, I think, come from Satan? I like the way Steve Doty says it. You know, you're going along and, you know, howdy, pilgrim, look over here or whatever. You know, why are we susceptible to some of those things? I said there's something I got to work on. You know, the reality of it is distractions come in when our faith picture gets a little fuzzy. If you're not locked in on where you're going, that's when the distractions can take you and you get a little veered off. You guys, let's go to Matthew 14. I just looked at my watch. I'm like, am I supposed to be done at 10? But it's 10:15, right? Okay. Matthew 14. I do like, there are a lot of things about Peter I like. You know, Jesus comes walking on the water, and these guys are terrified, and it's a ghost, and they cry out for fear. And Jesus says, hey, take courage, it's I, do not be afraid. I like Peter. Verse 28, Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. Peter got out of the water, or got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. What happened to Peter here? Well, Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said to him, oh, you of little faith. Why'd you doubt? Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. He's seeing the wind. He focused somewhere else. And in doing so, he lost his focus on Christ. And Jesus said, a lack of faith. Why'd you doubt? You know, our lack of focus, my lack of focus, comes if the faith picture gets a little bit fuzzy. You know, honestly, the last few years of my life, I said Marshall's doing this, I think, to work on me. Last few years of my life been a little difficult for me. It's been a shift in a number of areas of my life, some things different than what I've done in the past. And I got Nolan running the school in Billings. He's doing an absolutely fantastic job, by the way, across the board in his work. But, you know, my kids, a few years back, because I was so busy, I had so many things on my plate, I got to the point I wasn't really doing anything. I felt like I wasn't doing anything as well as I should be. And I got to make some adjustments here, and I made some of those adjustments. But at the same time, you know, last night you heard me talk about kids and how much of a passion that is for me, and now I realize a couple of my kids are already gone. I got a couple girls left, and well, I know the way this time's going. Hey, what's that next chapter look like? And if you don't have a clear focus, if you don't have that faith picture, if you're not sure what that looks like, you can get distracted. It's been a challenge for me. I haven't been as focused as I need to be. So thank you, Marshall, for working on me here this morning. You know, I understand why people in the world, why they have midlife crisis or whatever. Some things change and they got no direction of where they're going, where they want to end up. It's some challenges come our way. And so, you know, I think about, I was recently talking to a brother in Christ in Billings, and he's kind of the same station in life. And he was like, you know, he's like, in the younger years, he said, it was so clear what it was that we were supposed to do. You know, the congregation was smaller, and very, very clear in terms of our family, in terms of what it was going to take to get this congregation off the ground and moving forwards. And, you know, really, we got to go find new people. It was very, very clear and very obvious. He said, but you know, he said, now it's not so clear. Picture isn't so clear. We were just talking about the necessity for us to grow, to see, you know, as you think about it, as kids, it is a spiritual growth issue. As kids, there are very clear, direct things we give them and tell them to do, right? The younger they are, the more specific you have to be able to tell them exactly what to do and get that done. But the older they get, you know, you don't need to write the list out of everything. You say, hey, take care of, you know, mom can walk out and say, hey, take care of the kitchen, take care of the house. You know, see you next Tuesday. Keep up on everything. If you've been training them, and hopefully they were following through on the list when they were younger, they know what that means. It's less clear. And God and His working with us, brother, that's the way it works in our life. And so we need to be growing in our faith. Be ready for what's coming next. I think of Peter in another way. When Jesus tells his apostles, he's like, you know what? What's going to happen? I'm gonna go up to Jerusalem. I'm gonna be handed over. I'm gonna be crucified. You know, and it seems like all the apostles, their minds shut down right there. He tells, hey, on the third day I'm gonna rise again, but it doesn't. They kind of quit listening there, and you know, Peter's like, and Jesus told me, he said, you guys are all gonna fall away because of me this night, and actually all of them were like. You know, Peter was the loudest one. Not me, Lord. No, and all of them said the same thing. Scripture says they were we're going to be with you. But I can kind of almost hear Peter coming up to Jesus and saying, "Hey, I know the rest of these guys are going to bail on you, but not me. You can count on me." And he's pretty vehement about that, isn't he? I am going to be with you no matter what. And you get to the garden and. Jesus and his guys are outnumbered just a little bit. And how's Peter do? Guys, initially, Peter does pretty good. He pulls the sword out. Let's go. You know, I think a little nervous and gets the ear is all. You know, he's not quite, you know, first blow isn't quite on. Chops the ear off. But Peter's ready to follow through on what he said. And Jesus says, hey, put that sword back in your place. The cup the Father's given me, shall I not drink it? About that point in time, Peter's faith picture was not the faith picture given by God. It was one that he had his mind on, he was fixated on. You know, Jesus said, hey, you know, you guys are going to sit with me judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You know, this is, hey, I'm with you. We're going to win. And now Jesus is saying, hey, put the sword away. And this is not playing out the way Peter anticipated. So what happens to him? Distraction would be a nice word for that, right? A little bit later, three denials. But you understand the point? It was the faith. The faith picture was fuzzy, or in this case, was the wrong faith picture. And that's what caused him to crumble and be susceptible to those distractions. You know, I think this is particularly true when we're tired. Grandma Katie, I heard her ask, we got out of the vehicle, and she said, how are you feeling this morning, to Joseph Shanahan? And Joseph was a little tired. Anybody else a little tired this morning? Try to keep some toothpicks out there somewhere. You know, if you didn't get enough coffee, we can stick toothpicks in your eyes, keep them open here. But we might, you know, a little tired. Have you guys noticed, for me, distractions are worse when I'm tired. When I'm tired, when I'm hungry, hangry, you know, whatever version of that, distractions get me worse when I'm tired. I actually, we come back from the Philippines on our last trip, and no matter how we book that trip, we just can't stay away from a crazy layover somewhere on our way back. So we had, I think, an 8-hour or 10-hour layover in Minneapolis. So we're like, well, they can stay in the airport for 8 or 10 hours, or I had Mikkel with me. He's fun. He's like, hey, let's go to Mall of America. Let's go. So we went to Mall of America, and we're trying, you know, next thing you know, we're in there and the bowling thing. And hey, let's bowl. So four of us are bowling. And I actually started out, I'm no bowler. I used to do a fair amount with the youth group back then. But hey, you know, I'm doing pretty good. Lined up the arrows, and actually surprisingly well for me. But I'm no great bowler in the first place. I am really tired in the Philippines, you know, 30 hours or so without sleep. You know, things are a little fuzzy. And then I start kind of doing good, which almost makes it worse. So then you have all these, like, hey, what if I, and all these thoughts coming that I have to start trying to push out. This is just a simple game of bowling. You guys know what I'm talking about? Maybe some of you guys are golfing and you come to a hole, but there's water there. It's like, whatever you do, don't look at the water, right? Oh, hey, there's a distraction for you. But you got to push that stuff away. And when you're tired, I think particularly, sometimes you're tired, those distractions, they get a hold of you easier. I'll just say this. I won the first game and lost the second game. In our bowling, I lost some of my focus. And spiritually, guys, can that happen? I always think about the four types of soil, and obviously, the first one, the seed falls beside the road, the birds come and snatch it up, that's where most people are. You throw the word out there, and it's kind of like bounces off the forehead, right? It's just Satan snatches it right away. And then there's on the rocky soil, man, it gets in there and springs up right away, and people are pumped up, fired up, but there's no root there. A little temptation, a little affliction, a little persecution comes along. And then there's the thorny soil. Something crackling? Those aren't just fireflies, are they? The thorny, there's distractions, I guess. They're getting me. But you know, the seed that's sown among the thorns, because I get the impression that's something over time. Maybe a little tired. What you say, the worries of the world? Those be distractions? Deceitfulness of riches. The pleasures of this life. Sometimes they just take away the focus of where it should be. And we're not careful, grow up and choke that out. So what's the solution, brethren? The problem is there. The distractions are there. Satan's going to throw them out there. And we know there's times we can be, you know, particularly susceptible. What's the solution? The solution is a strong faith picture. We got to know. We got to have some focus on what the Lord's given to us. My dad says purpose puts power in living. You gotta have a purpose. You gotta have a strong purpose. And I really enjoyed Steve's message last night. Again, just a reminder, an awareness of the battle. Guys, the stakes are high. The waywardness of the naive shall send them on a fun boat ride, and at the end you say, hey, thanks for the ride, and hop off and go your way. No, the waywardness of the naive shall kill them. It's this serious thing. Our souls and the souls of others. And so we need to be focused. And we can't. Another problem I have, I don't think I'm the only person like this, but I sometimes get behind a car, get in there, behind the steering wheel, and I start zoning. I can't remember any. I'm sure I stop at the lights and stuff, but the next thing you know, I'm out like almost to the church building, and that's not where I was headed. Autopilot kicked in somewhere. I forgot about where I was going. And then it just went down the road that's most traveled. And so, you know, in reference to this, we need to have an intense focus. We need a clear picture of where we're going. One thing that impresses me about Jesus and the gospel accounts is he was very aware of his destination, and he was very aware of the timing also of things, where and when. You think about it, he had calculated time-specific goals. I think about when Lazarus died. And Jesus hears word, and, you know, Lazarus is asleep. Jesus particularly, he stayed there a little longer, didn't he, before he went, because he wanted this to, there's going to be a full effect. He's very aware of timing and was particular about the things that he did. Go with me to Luke chapter 13. Luke 13, verse 31. Just at that time, some Pharisees came up saying to Jesus, go away and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. He says to them, go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I reach my goal. Nevertheless, I must journey on today and tomorrow and the next day, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. Jesus knew. He knew what he had to do. He knew where he was going. And he wasn't going to let somebody, even, you know, whether it was a actual legitimate warning or a, I don't know enough about, you know, what's the backstory, because people don't always tell you the truth. But Jesus knew. He knew his time frame. And he wasn't going to let anything or anybody deter him from that goal. Now, brother, at some point, you know, we have the faith that was talked about. We even talked about developing an individual faith. But at some point, we're going to have to get a picture of who we are in the body of Christ. What are my abilities? What are the gifts God's given me? What does this look like in my life played out? What's my purpose in the body? If we don't get that, if we don't get a clear picture of that, susceptible to distractions. I want to hit one other one. Luke chapter 9. It's Jesus impresses me in every way. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. It came about when the days were approaching for his ascension that he resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem. I like Jesus' picture. I think the word usage is perfect by the Holy Spirit. When the days were approaching for his crucifixion, right? What's it say? When the days were approaching for his ascension, Jesus resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem. He knew. He knew where he was going. He was looking past the cross. It was to the ascension, but he resolutely set his face. Nothing, nobody was going to stop him from that. So, for us, I think we know this. Let's turn to Romans 12. I'll wrap up here in a minute. Romans 12. Let's just do 3 through 5, and I'll let you guys on your own continue to read on later if you want. But for the through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. I'm going to start verse 6 also. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. We need to figure this out. It's worth sorting through and saying, hey, what are some things, Lord, that you've given to me? What are some abilities that I have? We don't have to be like everybody else. But God wants us to be the best me he made me to be. And that's impossible without an understanding and without some goals set there to carry it out. I was actually talking to Jim Cox here the other day. Just a nice chat about, he's a pretty driven guy, aren't you?
Try to be.
Hey, this guy gets some goals out there in front. Watch out. But what if those goals aren't there or aren't as clearly defined? You're not going to get as much done. That's kind of what our conversation was about. Brethren, if you don't have... There was a guy years ago in the church in Bozeman. We used to do a scripture memorization chart. And every week we'd set a goal for what we wanted to memorize from the scripture. And the next week, those of us who wanted to, we'd get together a little early. And we'd talk about, hey, how'd we do? And this guy was on a trip. And so he came, hey, how'd you do? And he said, I didn't set any goals last week, and I achieved them. You don't set a goal to memorize any scripture this week. How much are you going to get done? None. And I think bigger picture, it's more than just setting time-specific goals. I think that's a part of it. But we got to know. We have to know what kind of person am I? Who has God made me to be? And then we can have goals that lead up to that. If my goal is simply to memorize a certain amount of scripture, as soon as I get that amount of scripture done, my goal's done, I'm done, and I'm back to the way I used to be. But if my goals are lining up with a picture of who I am, then this gonna be effective in this. You know, I'm a mind of man, plans his ways. The Lord directs a step. We need to have plans. Lord's going to direct it. Sometimes it's going to be a little shift. We got to stay focused in that. And I just want to encourage you, the days you don't feel like it, those are the days that winners really are made. You know, I think about used to lift some weights, and legs day was Friday. And legs day, miserable. Hey, heavy legs day. Who wants to go do that? And it's Friday. And I have to tell myself, hey, this is what makes you better than everybody else. Guys, spiritually, it's the days we don't feel like it. You do it. You stay focused. You cast votes. I read a book called The Atomic Habits. I'm stealing this term from it. You cast votes in favor of who you want to be. Every day you do that. And you line that up, and it's day after day after day. God says what you sow is what you reap, right? And lots of times this isn't visible now. You can be chipping away, chipping away, chipping away, and you think nothing's happening. Guys, stuff's happening. Stick with it. Stay focused. Don't let the devil take you off course. There, you know, an example. I'm going to do a short version instead of getting into all the chemistry. Let's just say this. You got ice. You got ice that's, we'll use Fahrenheit. Ice that's 20 degrees Fahrenheit. What temperature does ice melt at? Fahrenheit. Man, you guys are asleep. So you want me to use Celsius? What? 32 degrees, right? 32 degrees is the melting point. So, if you got ice, you gotta start warming that ice up, and there's a lot of energy going into that. To warm ice up to 32 degrees, it's still there at 32 degrees, what is it? Still ice. Can anybody else looking at this tell if there's been any work done? Still ice. And then, you have the heat of fusion, all of that energy to now convert the ice to water at 32 degrees. And then and only then is it visible to anybody else what's going on. Because in our life, God knows. Stick with it. Stay focused. Keep putting in those daily habits. Set your goals that are consistent with who the Lord's made you to be. And stay with it, even when it's not visible yet to you or to anybody else. You're building. You're building. It's going to come. Stay with it and keep your focus. It takes some strength to do that. Again, Jesus was the ultimate example. I'm going to close with John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 29. I love this statement from Jesus. It said, "He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." Let's stay focused, and the Lord won't leave us alone. He who sent us is with us. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Thank you.